Ed Mahoney from the Hartford Courant's been on top of this story with Pura and Marissa Gillette. There was an op-ed last year. I think it was early this year. I think it was early this year. Either way, regarding you know the power companies, and it was written by two state legislators. And turns out, maybe not, that Marissa Gillette, the head of Pura, was coordinating with the legislators in terms of writing that op-ed. She denies it. The legislators have demurred. And there's now a court case, and the recent news was that Marissa Gillette, you know, when they're trying to get the text messages between the two, said they were deleted. She had an automatic delete purge after 30 days. And then we found out from Ed Mahoney last night in the Courant that she's going to have to answer questions under oath. And that's significant. Now, I did bring it up when I talked to the governor the other day, focusing on the vetoes of the housing bill. I did press him a little bit on this Pura issue. Here's some of what he had to say.
It may seem obvious, but don't jump to conclusions. Okay. You know, I think she probably talked to, you know, she talks to the chairman and the ranking members of Energy and Technology all the time. That they talk about an op-ed. We'll figure that out. But what worries me is, you know, Eversource, the utilities, have a lot of lobbying power in the legislature. They often can push people around, and we have very, very high electric prices. So yep. You do want to hold the utilities accountable. They deserve a decent rate of return, but they can't pad the expense account either.
Yep. Interesting, because the governor said, don't judge till you have all the information, then pivots to the other issue, which is actually, you know, like cost. The piece that was posted last night is judge orders CTPR chief to submit to questioning after text message deletion. We welcome in Ed Mahoney from the Hartford Courant. Ed, good morning. How are you?
Fine, thanks, Brian. How are you? Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, it's always good to talk to you. For me, like before we get to this under oath stuff, I feel like I know the sun is yellow, and people keep telling me that it's blue, and because it just seems so obvious that there was coordination here, but I don't want to judge without information, but all the circumstantial stuff seems obvious.
Yeah, it does. I mean, that's the conclusion everybody reaches. You know, the thing is, what the power companies are arguing in court is, if it's not true, we'll just produce the text messages or the emails or whatever you have to show that it's not true. I mean, she said that what they were referring to was a draft of some pending, analysis of some pending legislation. Well, produce the draft. I mean, that's what right. Everybody's saying. And the judge said that in court the other day, on Monday. He said, why don't you just produce it and then put this thing to rest? So I don't know. The more reluctant they are to deliver the text messages and those sorts of things, the more suspicious people seem to get.
Yeah, you know, just for review, like the power companies are suing Pura.
Right. What's going on is the power companies claim that the under Gillette's leadership, the Pura hasn't been conducting rate reviews in accordance with the law. That there's a bias against the utilities in there, and Gillette has changed the procedure to put herself in charge of anything and give her essentially unilateral control over a lot of the decision making in ways that denies the power companies certain rights of appeal and those sorts of things.
Right.
That's this whole issue about the op-ed and the anti-utility opinion piece is they claim it shows bias on her part. So
right.
She's manipulating the system, denying them their appeal rights and that sort of thing, and she's doing it from a position of bias. That's their argument.
Right. We're talking with Ed Mahoney from the Hartford Courant here. You go to Courant.com and you can read the pieces on Pura and Gillette. You know, I'm just a couple quick questions on this. So heretofore, she had not answered these queries under oath.
Well, I mean, there's never really been. She testified before the General Assembly when she had a confirmation hearing, and I can't remember exactly what she said, but it was a denial. You know, I didn't write it; the two legislators wrote it.
Right.
I don't think that she's been under oath any place else. Maybe she has. If she has, I'm not aware of it, or I can't recall it.
And so what? Because, you know, the way they nuance the way they talk about it can say, well, I didn't lie, right? I didn't write it. She could say, I didn't write it. And,
right,
and
right,
that
right.
nuance is further insulting if she did coordinate with him. Will her testifying on her oath settle this? And, you know, I'm curious also if she had just admitted to it at the beginning, she would have been gone, right? I mean, so you assume that if it is sort of proven or acknowledged that she did coordinate, you'd assume that she's done?
I don't know what they would do. The governor seems to be to like her quite a bit, and he's been very supportive of her, so it would be his decision, I think. But I don't know how you can have somebody who's supposed to be an impartial arbiter of questions about utility law, almost a quasi-judicial impartial arbiter, how you could have somebody who's taken a position that, I don't like utility companies because they're dishonest.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this several times, but I'm sort of fascinated by this because you would think that it'd be wildly popular if somebody were going after the power companies to try to reduce our costs, but this is not what's happened, and our costs have not gone down.
The thing is, Pura is responsible or has oversight or authority over a relatively small portion of what you get in your bill every month. And even if they cut that, say it's a 25 or 30% of the bill, maybe 35%, it fluctuates up and down. But even if they cut that to death, it wouldn't lower your bill significantly because there's a lot of expense coming from the other three quarters of the bill. So to say that, she can control, and help reduce electric bills is, I don't know, not completely honest as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
Ed Mahoney from the Hartford Current joining us here on Brian and Company here. And again, it's Mahoney. There's no E in there. M-A-H-O-N-Y. So if you look it up, was that like an Ellis Island thing or what?
No, that was that's the way it was spelled before Ellis Island.
Oh, so that's more the traditional Irish spelling of it.
Well, it was a little different, but it never had an E in it as far as I'm concerned.
Is she compelled to do this, like, because the judge says he wants it, she has to do it, and if so, when will this happen?
Well, I mean, I don't know what I imagine she could say, I'm not going to do it, she could refuse, but the thing is it gets to the point where if the judge believes that there's a continued reluctance to follow his orders, then he can simply turn around and make what's called an inference of non-cooperation or the likelihood that she did collaborate on this op-ed, and that can weigh against the Pura people in this litigation. And so there's an incentive to participate and cooperate in these things, but I'm honestly surprised at how far it's gone at this point without any cooperation. I mean, they could have admitted 6 months ago that this thing had been deleted, but they chose not to.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much about this that I think the longer it goes, if we find out that she did coordinate with them, the longer it goes, the worse it obviously looks. But now, I don't know. I felt at some point they were just going to run out the clock and hope other news made people look elsewhere. But I don't know what's going to happen. So what do we know, would this happen this summer? What happened next week?
They've got 15 days to do the depositions and then, another 30 days to do certain other types of document discovery. And then they can come back to court and the utilities can say, we didn't get what we wanted, and the judge can order more. So there's a schedule. I think the depositions have to take place within 15 days.
15 days. Ed, great job. I mean, this stuff I find so vital, and I don't know who would be writing about it if you weren't. So I appreciate it, and so do our listeners.
Well, thank you very much, Brian. Thanks very much. Good to be with you again. Thanks.